to episode 78 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy and Lindsay. It's an exciting time to be a traveling reader. Gone are the days of having to check luggage to bring bulky paper books with you on your trip. But what device should you choose for your travels if you're new to e-reading? An iPad? A black and white reader like a Kindle? Are there times when you might need two devices? Listen and learn about the considerations that help you choose the best e-reader to match your travel style. Each device that can be used for e-reading has merits and drawbacks. We travelers have additional criteria to consider. We don't want to haul around multiple heavy devices, otherwise we'd haul around those bulky paper books. A minimalist traveler at heart, but a recreational reading librarian by trade, Heidi Berry Rodriguez has an amazingly fun job helping adult readers find fun books. Let's get started learning about e-reading and how you can easily read on the road without the bulky books. So I think the first obvious question here is why ditch the print books? Although I think it's kind of an obvious question if anybody's ever carried around.
I mean, we literally used to check a bag just full of books and sunscreen when we went to the beach.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, though, until I actually downloaded the Kindle app on my iPad, I resisted it because I love having a book in my hand and just having, I don't know, just something about having the book. And so I resisted it for a long time.
But do you use it when you travel?
I use my Kindle all the time now.
Yeah. I'd be lost without mine. Such an indecisive reader. I never knew what I wanted to take, so I would take like a whole suitcase of just maybe I want to read this. Maybe I'll be in the mood to read this.
Yeah. And I really need to read this, so I'm going to bring it.
I'm going to bring it and pretend like I might actually read it. Yeah.
I also think there are certain situations where print still is king for certain types of travels. E-readers, at least black and white ones, don't work very well with maps. And so sometimes I know this is sacrilegious, but I'll cut up a guidebook.
I know. You're a librarian.
Not a library book.
Not a library book. But if I have a guidebook, I'll cut it up and cut out all the pieces I don't need, like the hotels, if I already have a hotel, or I only take the pieces that I think I'm going to need, and then I toss it as I go.
Now, I will say an exception to that map thing, I don't have this, but I borrowed one when I was in Hong Kong, is if you have an iPad that actually has Wi-Fi, because then you can use Google Maps or Maps and identify exactly where you are, which is super helpful with a map. So in that case, the device can be really useful.
If you're using an iPad with a reader app, like a Kindle app on it, your maps will display really well. It's using a black and white reader with maps, basically rendered almost useless, I think.
So tell me the difference between, I know there's so many different kinds of Kindles. There's the Paperwhite and there's, you know, just the regular ones. So what are the differences?
The top of the line one is called the Voyage, and it has it's a black and white reader. Runs around $200. It's about almost double the price of the Paperwhite.
So what do you mean by black and white?
It's only a black and white. It's a dedicated reader. You can't do anything else with it except read in black and white.
You can't play Sudoku
anything. It may have a rudimentary browser in it, but it doesn't really work.
So is that what you want if you want to read outside in the daylight?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're going to the beach, you definitely want a dedicated black and white.
Because that I can't do on my Kindle app.
Exactly.
That's actually why I bought a black and white reader, the first one that I bought, which was a Nook, actually. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a color Nook. And then I went and got an old school black and white one because out in the sun, you don't have to be at the beach anywhere outside, really.
Right.
You can't read it.
Have you ever been at the beach and you've watched people trying to read on their phones or on their iPad and they're like contorting them?
Or they put the towel over their head and you're like, oh, they're reading.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of considerations. It's a lot of considerations goes into choosing the device. Like, what type of traveler are you doing? Are you going to be on the beach? Are you going to be someplace that's rustic that doesn't have access to electricity? Are you going to be camping?
Good point.
Because with an iPad, you're going to have to keep charging it. With an e-reader, a dedicated black and white e-reader, you only have to charge it maybe every couple of weeks.
Yeah, I remember when my husband was all about his Nook, and the first time it went dead on him on a camping trip, and I was sitting there with my regular book. I was such fun of him. Like, that is what you get.
And I mean, I think too, the iPad is also heavier and it can be hot.
Yeah.
Yes.
With the battery.
It can get hot. Right. Yeah. So what is the lightest of the choices? Like, if you're really going for weight, what's the lightest one?
Would be any of the black and white e-readers. I don't think there's a substantial difference in weight between the top of the line, let's say the Kindle Voyage and one of the cheaper Kindles. The difference is that the screen resolution on the Voyage is a really high screen resolution. the light's a little brighter, and it has Gorilla Glass, similar to an iPhone, instead of a plastic that can scratch.
Is it still non-glare, though?
It is still non-glare, completely non-glare. And there's no bezel on it, so if you go to the beach, the sand can't get stuck. It's, like, completely flat on the top.
That's nice.
I love it.
When you said the resolution is faster, does that mean when you turn the page, it pops up into
resolution is higher, meaning the screen is more clearer. More defined. But for most people, a Paperwhite is an excellent option. It has the light, and the light is completely different from an iPad. An iPad is lit from behind, and these readers are lit from below. So there is not eye strain that you get from looking at an iPad. It can be much harder to read on an iPad if you're reading for a long
time. Listen, there's research that says that you shouldn't use anything that's backlit like that, where the light is coming at you right before bedtime.
Right. The Kindle is not backlit, though, because it's lit from below.
Heidi, I have a question about, do you know the difference in the battery life between them? Because I have an older Kindle, and I absolutely love it. I got it when they first came out, and it's got the keyboard built into it. Uh-huh. It's the old style black and white, but it's the one with the 3G that you get anywhere, and I'm very hesitant. I know it's time. I know it's gone. It's gone away on me a couple times, and I've had to pray. It's getting toward the end of its lifespan, but I love that my battery, I can charge it and then have pretty much about almost a month, 3 weeks of use. How does it compare with the newer batteries, like with these fancy new high resolution screen? Is it eating more battery?
I think it eats up a little bit more battery, but not enough to make you go, oh my God, the battery life is so much shorter. I only charge mine maybe every once a month. If I'm on a trip, I do bring the charger, because if I'm on a long plane ride, then I'll top it off when I can. You should really do it. The light itself is incredible. It changed the way I read. Because I could never read in my family room because we didn't have outlets near the couch or the chair, so there was no lamp. And so I would have to read only in certain areas of the house, and now that I have a reader like this, I can read anywhere. The light is really nice. It really doesn't hurt your eyes at all. It doesn't seem to affect the battery life that much either. So
yeah, I have a Paperwhite, and I charge it maybe once a month as well. Now there are months where I go without reading because I'm working all the time or whatever, and if that happens, if I go a few weeks, it doesn't, not a whole lot drains off of it. I have to really go a long time, before. So yeah, and the screen resolution is better than those old ones too, because I upgraded from an old Nook, which was of the same generation as those Kindles with the keyboards. And when I changed to the Paperwhite, I felt like I got a new pair of glasses. Yeah. I was like, I didn't even think it was blurry before, but now, it's so much sharper. So.
The one thing you have to be careful of is some of the older ones allowed you to do audiobooks, and some of the newer ones don't. So you really need to read the specs to see which ones allow that, if that's something that you're doing on a regular basis.
That's why it's so hard to give it up, because I like having the 3G, because I like not having to pay for my little internet download last minute. That's another thing that's great about this versus books. If you're sitting at the airport and you're like, oh, I don't know what I want to read. Oh, this book just came out. Oh, it takes less than a minute to get a new, to get a new book. You're not running to the store, so I'm very hesitant to go to something else, because I don't know if I'm going to love it quite as much. And I do use the audiobooks.
If you turn it in, you'll get about $40 towards the new one. And then
there's motivation.
Yeah. They were having a promotion not that long ago. It was $40, and then they were putting another $20 on top of it. So it brought it down. It brought a new Paperwhite down to about $60, which was,
So has Kindle kind of made Nook like the Betamax?
Nook, on its way out.
Yeah. They pretty much just nailed the coffin shut. Very, very short while ago. Yeah. Yeah, they're not.
I would not buy a Nook.
No.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be one of the last.
Right. Chris had one, and something happened where it wasn't working, so he took over my Kindle. And one thing he really likes too is blowing it up. I mean, I joke because I'm like, you have like 5 words on that whole screen. Right. Seriously.
But that's a huge thing, because in the library, what we see around Christmas time and New Year's, it's an influx of people coming in beseechingly with this box in their hand saying, help me, my daughter bought this for me. But the people that we're seeing coming in are the ones that are older. And because this is a very appealing technology, you don't need a giant large print book that weighs 6 pounds, and you can change the font size, you change the font, the margins, the spacing, the whole idea of just holding the word and defining it. I think for travelers, this is probably one of the greatest inventions ever.
That, and that large print thing, that sort of gets down to cost too. A lot of these ebooks cost a little bit less. And then large print, as someone who's worked in a library as well, and that's a really expensive collection. Yeah. For some reason, they just price so much higher. And so it's difficult for a library to collect a lot of large prints. So this way, you can pretty much read any book. If you need large print, right. You can read any book. You don't have to wait for a large print edition or, you know, hope that the library can afford it for you.
And there are a lot of people who say exactly what you said, Sandy, which is, I was resistant because I like to hold a book in my hands. I always say to people, then get a cover that opens like a book. Because yeah. That really removes a lot of that hesitation, or instead of holding it in one hand where it feels awkward, this is not how a book should feel.
Yeah.
Get the cover, open it up. The new Voyage had, the way the page turns are, is that you can turn back or forward on both sides. Versus the Paperwhite, it's a little different. So you can actually hold it in one hand if you wish. Mm-hmm. The older Kindles, you almost need a cover that opens like a book.
That's funny that they're making it feel like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, another thing that I do with books, and this, you guys as librarians are probably gonna like hit me or something, but I like to look ahead to the end of the book.
I'm not gonna hit you as a librarian. I'm just gonna hit you as a person. So there's like, a joy.
For example, I was reading the Stephen King novel that is now a series on Hulu, 1123.
Oh, it's a wonderful book.
Yeah. Well, yes. However, whenever things kind of start to freak me out, like the whole part where I really didn't get very far. Okay, so he's at the town trying to do something with the janitors, mm-hmm. From his time.
Fabulous book.
Yeah, so, but I would like to look ahead and see who's still alive at the end.
Yeah. That is awful. Why would you, if you know the ending, why would you want to keep reading it?
I don't know.
Because then I can not have anxiety about... Yeah.
So it's a security blanket, basically.
Well, kind of.
Everything's going to be
another thing, too, that I miss by having an e-reader is sometimes I'll just forget who the author is or what the name of the book even is. I read this great book. It was about this. I really can't remember who it was.
But you know what? Yeah. There is actually research that shows you don't retain as much when you read electronically as you do in print.
Yeah. I can see that.
But,
yeah.
You know, with an e-reader, all you have to do is tap on the screen. It shows you the title and the author, and then you just hit go to, and you go to the end, and then you can back up a few pages.
And I assure you, Heidi can tell you many stories about people who do exactly that with print books. It was really good, and it was blue. Help me find it.
Or they re-released it, and they changed the cover, and I bought the darn thing again.
Because you didn't realize it was the same book.
Because it had been so long.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just lost my train of thought. Sorry.
I just wanted to get back to the travel thread a little bit and talking about this and sort of when would you need to? I mean, obviously we were talking about the audiobooks. That would be a good reason perhaps to have two, because I do put my audiobooks on my iPad or my phone, and I actually do that because it plugs into my Bluetooth in my car.
Right.
And so it's easier for me to listen to it that way. So I could just put in headphones and listen to it on my phone.
I travel with two, I'm pretty minimalist, and I travel with two devices. I travel with my iPad and I travel with my Kindle. My Kindle is just exclusively for reading, and I know that battery isn't going to run out, and it's not hard on my eyes, and I can be on the plane, and it's not getting hot in my lap, and it's not heavy to hold. But I bring an iPad so I can use Skype, so I can, be on the web, so I can just have connection to the world. Eventually someday, maybe there'll be a nice hybrid device with the key, but I'm not holding my breath.
Well, they tried. Yeah. I mean, like some of the color notes and things sort of tried to be that, and then...
Or the
Kindle Fire, which... But again, you still have that issue with the black and white.
And the battery.
It's funny, my husband, who used to take 6 to 10 books on every trip that we would go on, and he would read all of them, so I couldn't even yell at him about overpacking, now puts his books on his iPad, and it makes me crazy because I don't know how he can see all the time, doing that. But he doesn't want two devices. It's so funny because I'm like, you used to carry around 16 books. Why is it so hard to carry two devices?
Yeah.
But he is perfectly happy. I think he likes the ability to flip back and forth. Mm-hmm. I'm reading for a little bit, and then I'm going to go check Facebook.
Which is exactly the reason I cannot read on an iPad, because I am so diverted away from the reading. Yeah, the email will ding, or Facebook will ding, or I want to check the weather or the temperature. With a dedicated e-reader, I am immersed in that reading experience like I would get in a print book, which for me is why a lot of the reason I read, just to have that immersion to kind of shut the world out. But others, I guess, want to stay connected.
I think there's just so much. I think we're so connected all the time that it just kind of blends in, But, yeah, I do like your husband does. I go back and forth between things. I have this thing. I think I have a Kindle or iPad related back injury because of the way I sit on my couch and have to lean to the side because it's not plugged in. At first I was thinking, maybe it's the way I have to position for my dogs to be comfortable, but now I'm like thinking I think it's the way I lean all the time.
So when we were younger, we got Nintendo thumb. Right. And now that we're older, we get iPad back.
Right. Yeah.
iPad wrist from holding your iPad up too.
I actually feel it with my Kindle isn't very heavy, the Kindle Paperwhite, but because of the way you hold it, and I do tend to hold it with one hand, mm-hmm. I find that it puts the strain on my thumb. Yeah. Holding that weight up.
If you're holding it with one hand,
it can. So I've been striving to, like, sometimes I'll hold it, like, as if I'm cupping water, mm-hmm. and then I can just use my thumb to go back and forth on to turn the pages. But I find that I have to move it around a lot. And I actually like to take it out of the case. We were talking about opening the book, mm-hmm. and I have a book-like case, but I prefer to pop it out of that case and just hold because it's lighter.
It's much lighter.
Yeah. It's so much lighter. It's a
much lighter. I mean, I have the old school case with the light built in, so it's really heavy. When you take it out, boy, that really just, it's like it weighs nothing. Mm-hmm. I've noticed something too, and this might just be me imagining it, but I feel like I read faster on my Kindle than I ever did with hardback or paperback books. Yeah. I miss the smell.
Do you feel like it's a race because your Kindle will tell you like how much time you should have left to finish the
you
book?
You can turn that off.
Mine doesn't do that. Mine just says what percentage.
Yeah. The new ones will actually tell you have 4 minutes left in this chapter, which is always, that's a lot of pressure for me.
Like,
and it's dynamic, so it supposedly tracks how fast you read and changes it based on your reading speed, and I'm a slow reader, so I try to ignore that completely and don't even look at it.
It's like GPS. Oh, it says I'm going to get there.
Exactly.
2 o'clock.
So you should be there.
1:57.
So if you're still not sure that you want to switch to an e-reader, another reason that I love them is privacy. Okay. I think we've actually joked about this before with people who are reading 50 Shades of Grey on the plane, and you just don't want to know the person beside you is reading that.
Well, actually, I had heard that was like part of the reason they think that novel was so successful because e-readers came about really big around that time. Yeah. And
also, I was thinking about this. I was just on a plane and an overnight flight, and it really bugged me, the people that had their lights on to read a print book, because, you know, right in front of me, it's shining down. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's so prerogative, but I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, you know.
We talked about it on the episode about how to survive a really long flight. Yeah. And I think I even begged people to use e-readers because the little man sitting beside me read for 17 hours and his light was right across my face. Yeah. So please, you know, be nice to your fellow passengers and have an e-reader.
So where do you guys get your books? I know I just linked back into my library account because I found my library card and I was able to do that, which is awesome. But now I'm a little bit worried that I'm going to, like, not finish my book in time and it's going
to
disappear.
That happens to me all the time.
Yeah?
Let's get it back again.
Well, there are little tricks for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, do tell, Heidi.
Well, if you keep your Wi-Fi off. If it's an iPad, you really can't do that. But if you have a dedicated reader and you shut your Wi-Fi off, your book won't disappear until you turn your Wi-Fi back on.
That exact thing happened to me. When I had one of those Amazon, like, pay $9.95 a month or whatever, and you get one free book. And so I had a book I was reading on a cruise, and I didn't have my Wi-Fi on. And then as soon as I got back into port and turned it back on, my book disappeared. And then I had to go and buy it because I had canceled the $9.95 a month.
So are you saying that with the Amazon Prime, you don't get to keep that book? Because I just got Amazon Prime. I know I'm late.
So Amazon Prime has one.
Like a one free book
from their library. Like they have,
But you get to keep that, right?
Yeah. Okay, I forget what it's called. It's called something else. But you basically can get up to 10 at a time off of this list.
Okay.
And then they disappear.
Okay. So Heidi, talk a little bit about how that works with libraries. And
So it works really well with libraries, and a lot of libraries have programs to get you started. The library I work at, we have a service where you sit down with a librarian for an hour and they'll get you started up and running to use library books on your device, whatever device it is you're using. In our system, you can borrow up to 10 books at a time for 2 weeks, and you can put books on hold. It's wonderful. The collection is pretty large and balanced. I find that I buy books, though, more than I ever have. It's something about the instant gratification.
Yeah.
The instantaneous kind of spontaneity of saying, I want that book. And they are a little cheaper than print books. And they're just, like, right there. And like what Lindsay was saying with the 3G, you know, you can be anywhere and you can just kind of turn it on and bam, you've got this book. I do buy books. I get them from the library. There's something called BookBub and Hack-A-Book and a pack a book is like a travel, a book for a service for travelers. And all the book collection is related to traveling. So if you want to check out or buy a book related to your destination, or you could ask a librarian for, if you want books, you're going to France and you want books about France, you know, novels about France, we can come up with a list for you.
Hint, we have an upcoming podcast on that.
So I kind of fell into Pixels of Ink. Are you familiar with that? It's like a Facebook page, but they run lists of free books that are available when authors do specials and whatnot, and you keep up. And I've downloaded a ton of free books, and also Amazon. There's a way to search on Amazon for the top 100 free books.
Wow! So that's what Book Club is too, right? Right. Book Club is like a daily
like
list,
an aggregator, and it pulls them all in from various online booksellers. And most of the classics are out there and free. And you can also lend people books. So if I was with, if I wanted to lend you a book, I could lend you a book for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's not available to me at the time I'm lending it to you. It's only available to you. You just have to accept
it. That's not available with every title, if I'm not mistaken. Because I was just trying to lend one to my husband, and it did not come up as an option. Yeah, I think some, I don't know if it's the authors or the publishers. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's an author who I would think would, it's Jim Butcher, and I would think that he would actually, I mean, I don't know him personally, but just seems like a nice guy.
So, I feel like I know him.
Yeah, I feel like he should do that. So I could be wrong. Maybe he really hates, you know, that service. But, you know, we are married, and I would think that, you know, normally we could easily share a book. Yeah. But I have to basically hand over my Kindle or, you know, or he has to log into my Kindle account in order to.
See, I have the opposite problem. My kids are all, we're all under the same Kindle account.
Oh, that's dangerous.
I know, because they totally make fun of what I read.
Yeah, and you don't want to do that with library books. Because then it's going to limit the number of books that you can check out.
Right.
Whereas if you each use your library account, you can each get 10 books. If you start using multiple devices with the library account, it could get a little messy.
And one big thing that Heidi has not mentioned, but that I know people get very anxious about, is overdue fines. And the nice thing about ebooks is it doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah.
It will turn itself back in. Mm-hmm. Or if you do the little Wi-Fi trick, you're not going to get charged.
Mm-mm. There's no charges. You can't go overdue.
Yeah. And for somebody like me, that's really helpful. Yeah.
And my library system has all the Lonely Planet travel guides for various cities.
On e-readers?
On e-readers.
Oh, I should look that up. Nice.
It's really pretty cool. You know, they also have a pretty good collection of just travel memoirs if you want to read about different destinations. But yeah, I was very happy to see that they had the Lonely Planet.
Yeah, I remember when they were just getting started on the e-reading thing. Yeah. And I remember like some of my friends were talking about how they, you know, only had like 10 copies, but it was like, well, wait, why, that doesn't make sense. Why can't you just have infinite copies? But apparently it doesn't work like that.
You know, it's such a new thing, and the publishers are trying to put an old business paradigm to the new technology, saying there's one book and it checks out to one reader, instead of maybe thinking a little more modern and saying, maybe we'll charge the library X number of cents or dollars for each download and letting people have access to it.
Yeah, because there's actually some books that I've bought multiple times, you know? Like, every time I see it somewhere, I'm like, oh, I love this book. I want to give it to people.
And you've bought it multiple times from Amazon?
Well, I usually buy it if I see it used somewhere. So
you're talking about real books.
Real books.
I said that. I'm sorry.
Speaking about real books, I have a question for the librarian. One of my biggest... The biggest controversial thing I found about e-readers, and I haven't found an actual real answer to this yet. How can you tell if it is an abridged version or not? Are these books abridged for the e-reader version? Are things cut out of them?
They should not be.
And if they are, it should say that it's an abridged version.
Exactly. If you're talking about a classic, then it would say it in the title if it's abridged. But there is zero reason for them to abridge any of these, because these files are pure text files. And they cost pennies to produce.
Okay. You may notice you'll see fewer typos in them, especially if the book has been out longer, because they can correct the copies that are out easier and go back.
I feel like I notice typos more.
In ebooks?
Yeah.
Well, they're still there at the beginning, but they can actually go back, especially if it's a borrowable copy. They can go back and make corrections.
Yeah, that should not be changed in format in any way, shape, or form. Of course, the annoying thing to many people is it doesn't give you a page number. that corresponds to a print version.
Right.
That kind of tends to throw people off when they first get started.
Yeah, like if I were to walk into the store and try to look at where I was and see what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Or if you really, dutifully use a service like Goodreads to track your reading, a lot of people will do that. And now Goodreads will actually give you the option. Do you want to say what page you're on, or do you want to say what percentage of
the
book you're through? Yeah, what location. Right. So that location thing is really random too. It's like some sort of like bits and bits.
I don't
really
pay attention to it. It's like if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But
I think we've pretty much covered everything, if I'm not mistaken. So, so that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com and then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. A special thank you to Heidi for joining us this week. And on behalf of Sandy, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.